Well, this month, over the 4 weeks of the Sundays of the month in the evening, we've been looking at the whole question of starting and going on with Christ. And those of you who are here for the first Sunday will remember that we looked at what happened when I was born again, when I became a Christian. And we looked at the transforming grace of our Lord in our lives. We saw that we were a new creation in him. The old had gone, the new had come, and we'd stepped out into a new life. Last week we looked at the question, well, how can I be sure that I'm a Christian? How can I be sure that I've started in the Christian life? And we looked at the question very simply. We couldn't cover it all because of the time, but we look very simply at the question of our assurance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were really born again in him. This evening, we're going to ask another question. It's, how do I keep going? How do I keep going in the Christian life? I've started. And I feel, yes, I know that I've been born again and I'm walking with Christ. But how do I keep it up? How do I keep going? There's a story that is told that way back at the beginning when they started creating steam engines, and there was an elderly gentleman who was taken to an engine shed where they were building one of the early locomotives. And when it was complete, he was there seeing it, and he looked at it. And he said, that thing won't go. That thing won't go. A little later, when he actually saw it move out of the shed and onto its tracks, and it started to go, and it was making quite a racket, and it was puffing and blowing and steam everywhere. He said, that thing won't stop. It started, but it won't stop. Now, the question of starting and stopping belongs to almost every aspect of our lives, doesn't it? We're always starting and stopping. We start something and we do it, and sometimes we see it through to the end and we stop. But there are other times in our life when we start something, but somehow we get a bit fed up with it, or it doesn't seem to be working out, and things start to go wrong, and well, we gradually stop, and we come to an end of it, and we don't carry it on anymore. Now, this can quite happen in the Christian experience, can't it? We can start the Christian life with a bang. But then it peters out. We don't keep going, and we come to a stop. Now, many people can shy away from the Christian life, shy away from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and as their Lord. They say, I'm afraid to start. I'm afraid to step out into the Christian life. Perhaps they're being very honest with themselves. They know that so often they've started things in their life and they've never completed them. And that's led them through to painful experiences. So often they've resolved to start, to perhaps even turn over a new leaf in their life, to start things anew. But they never complete it. They fail. They slip up. And in the end, they say, I'm afraid to start again. I don't think I could keep it up. And this is the big problem for many people in the Christian life. How do I keep it up? How do I keep going? Let's go back again to the beginning of our Christian life. When we first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were outside of his kingdom. We were doing our own thing. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came into our lives. We realized that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We realized that we needed to be saved. And through the working of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, we came through to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For some people, it was a gradual process. For others, it was something that suddenly came into their life. They were suddenly convicted of sin, then they were suddenly introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ who could save them. C.H. Spurgeon once said, God's Spirit calls men to Jesus in diverse ways. Some are drawn so gently that they scarce know when that drawing began. Others are so suddenly affected that their conversion stands out with noonday clearness. Yes, for some, conversion, being born again, is a gradual process. They can't actually say when they really came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But for others, they can name the day and even the time when they turned and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and as their Lord. Some perhaps have put up their hand in a meeting to say yes, they've accepted the Lord. Others have come to the front and met with a counsellor. I go back at my age to the Billy Graham campaigns, when Billy Graham used to make an appeal at one of his large meetings and people flocked to the front. And there they met a counsellor and somebody prayed with them, opened the scriptures. Some go back and say, yes, that's when I became a Christian. Others say, well, yes, it was when I was baptized or I was christened. But you know, the true and authentic work of God in our lives is when we are transformed. When we become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. A transformation begins when we are born again. And this transformation will continue in our lives until, as redeemed people, we are resurrected and made completely holy when we come into God's glory. Therefore, God's sanctifying work is seen in us. We grow Christ-like characters. We increase our love for God the Father and for other people. And the fruit of the Spirit starts to show in our lives. So we start as a babe in Christ. And we begin to grow. Grow as a new person. Not with our old worldly character, but with the character of our Lord developing in our lives. How then, if we start out on the Christian life, can we maintain it? How can the Christian life be kept up? Well, I think, you know, we can keep it up if we realise that the Christian life is a life. It's not a system. It's not a plan. It's not something that we follow on paper. It's not something that's set down for us. The Christian life is a life. And it's a life that goes on in exactly the same way as our physical life. We start our physical life as a baby. And the basic things that we need is nourishment and air and exercise, which we take for granted, don't we? Now, if we translate that into the terms of being born again as a Christian, we are babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. And we need spiritual nourishment in order to grow spiritually, to grow in Christ Jesus. That our character becomes like his character. That people see in us the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. That's not all. There is a very important fact that we need to understand. And the fact is this, that it's not ultimately your life or mine that is in question. It is the life of another. It is the life of Christ in us. The Old Testament makes it perfectly plain that Christ is our life. When Paul was writing to the Colossian church, and we read it in the third chapter and in the fourth verse, Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him. When Christ, who is your life, my life. We also have that very well-known verse, perhaps one which we ought even to know better than we do. It's a statement that Paul made about his own Christian life. And as you look at that verse, you see that there is an enormous amount of truth there. It has a lot to say about the Christian life and how it can be maintained. Listen to it carefully as I read it to you. It's in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. This is what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ, and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And he loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says, Christ died for me. And we are accounted to have died with him. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live. But Christ lives in me. We regard ourselves as being on the other side of resurrection. Other side of death, rather. We are now alive to God. At one point, we were dead to God in trespasses and sins, and we were made alive when we were born again. So now we're dead to the world, but alive to God. All this is an experience by faith in Christ. It's as we trust in him that he lives in us. To put it bluntly, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God. Now we must understand, as we've seen over the past 2 weeks, the Christian life is not just a new resolution on our part. It's not just turning over a new leaf. It's a new life. It's a new birth. It's a new beginning. So we have to start growing in this new life. It is called, by theologians, sanctification or holiness. So what does it mean for newborn babes in Christ, and indeed for all of us, even as mature Christians? What does it mean to grow in holiness, to be sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ? Firstly, I believe the basic meaning is this. We have to see ourselves to be set apart for God. Although we are in the world, we are not part of the world. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. not of the kingdom of this world. We've come out of this world and we're in God's kingdom. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And what does God want for his subjects? Or rather, what does God command his subjects to be? His subjects are to be holy. Do you remember that God said to the children of Israel through Moses, I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy as I am holy. And if we turn to the New Testament, the Apostle Peter takes up that quote and he says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. The writer to the Hebrews, he says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And then the writer of Hebrews, it's in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, he gives us a warning. For he says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord without holiness. So we need to become holy. God has commanded us to be holy because he is holy. Therefore, we grow in Christ. We take on the Christ-like character that we might be holy. Now, this doesn't mean that we live a life as an ascetic, that we shut ourselves away in a monastery. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Once we desired worldly things, worldly pleasures. But our desire for Christ has replaced that. We've overcome the world. We are new creatures, a new creation in Christ. Christ fills our hearts. Turn, if you will, please, to 1 John and the second chapter. You'll find that on page 864 in the Church Bible. To 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through to 17. Here the Apostle John, writing there in his first epistle, in that second chapter, he says this in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world and loves the love of the Father is not in him, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Where is your love tonight? Is it still in the world, or it is in Christ Jesus? Yes, we are called to be set apart in order to live lives that are Christ-like, not worldly lives. But secondly then, God gives us an aim as a Christian. This aim is to achieve holiness. Remember what Peter said in the quotation we spoke of a moment or two ago? Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. The goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. Paul, when writing to the Corinthian church in his second letter, and chapter 4 and verse 4, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the image of God. Therefore, if Christ is the image of God, and God is holy, if we are to be like Christ, We are to be holy. That must be our aim. That must be our aim. If God is holy, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the image of God, and we want to be Christ-like, then we too must be holy. That is why some people are afraid of progressing in the Christian life. They shy away from it. They say, no, I can't do it. I can't keep it up. I can't be holy. I just couldn't be. But God calls us to be holy. In fact, he commands us, doesn't he? Be holy, he says, for I am holy. And so his Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And we start growing from that moment we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. We don't automatically become holy in one sense. It's a gradual process. We grow in the Christian life. Ask yourself tonight, am I growing in the Christian life? Or have I stopped? Or are I growing? The Apostle Paul, again speaking to the Corinthian church in the second letter, this time chapter 7 and verse 1, says this: let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. It's a progressive work which involves our complete personality, our complete spirit, our complete soul, and our complete body. Paul prays for the Thessalonians in his first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 5. He says this: may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Yes, it's a continuous work in our lives. We are growing day by day more Christ-like. So we have to put our confidence in our Lord. For Paul says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Not, and you will do it, but he will do it in your life. You will grow if you let God's Spirit work in your heart and in your life. He's at work in us. He's giving us the will and the power to achieve his purpose, which is our goal as Christians. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So Paul says to the Philippian church in chapter 2 and verse 18. The Holy Spirit indwells us. It strengthens our will to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, to obey his commandments, to live out the Christian life, to live out a life, a spiritual life, a Christ-like life, rather than a life that has all the marks of the world. As we've seen before, the Christian life is not a new resolution. Please turn with me to Romans and to the 7th chapter of Romans, page 797. In the church Bible. Let's look at verse 14 of that chapter. Chapter 14 of Romans chapter 7. We will see how useless it is to endeavor to seek sanctification by means of the law. We're not given a list of instructions which God gave to the children of Israel. It's not trying to keep God's commandments in our own strength. This chapter 7 is one of the big chapters in the Bible. He comes in the context of a previous discussion in which Paul has demonstrated that by the law is the knowledge of sin. That is, the law can now do nothing but condemn us. We have the Ten Commandments. The Jews had the Ten Commandments. But could they live up to it? Could they at the end say, yes, I've kept every one of those commandments? Of course they couldn't. They'd failed, even in the slightest one. Therefore, the law was condemning them. They were condemned by the law of God. They were sinners, uncleansed. They were broken. Look at verses 15 and 16. What does Paul say here? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Now, I'll read that again. I got a bit tongue-tied. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Now, what is Paul actually saying here? He says, the very things I do are just the very things I hate to do. Has that happened in your life? You want to lead a better life. Yes, in worldly terms, you turn over a new leaf. You say, yes, from now on, I will lead a better life. I want to do this, I want to do that. But what happens? You go and do the very things you don't want to do. Your conscience tells you what you should be doing. It tells me what I should be doing. But somehow I go and do the opposite. Paul says in verse 21, so I find this law at work in me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. How we so often experience that, don't we? We want to do good. We want to live Christ-like lives. But so often, we go and do the very things we don't want to do and we fall into sin. We might make a new resolution to lead a Christian life. But if we try it in our own strength, we are doomed to failure. So making a new resolution is of no use. Just keeping new rules. Yes, God's given us the Ten Commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us the Sermon on the Mount as a guide to our Christian living. But if we tried in our own strength to lead such lives, we'd soon fail. And we say, it's no use. I can't keep it up. But our salvation is by grace, not through keeping a set of rules. It is through the grace of God. By grace have you been saved, and not of works. It's through God's mercy and love for you and me that we have been saved. But we must make a conscious effort to turn away from doing evil. Paul says to Timothy in the second letter to Timothy in the second chapter in verse 19, anyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. We've turned away from the darkness of the world. We belong to Christ. Therefore we must shun worldly practices. Paul tells us through his letter to the Ephesian church in chapter 4 and verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Yes, we've been created in Christ Jesus to put off the old way of life, the former life, the way we used to live, with all its corruption and worldly desires. And we put on a new self. A new self which is created like God. That we have the character of our God in our lives. We have to deal with sin in our lives. We will be looking next week as how does the Christian deal with sin. So we won't pursue that any further tonight. There are many, many more aspects of sanctification which we could discuss together tonight, but time does not allow. But let me close by attempting just to answer the question, how then do I grow to be more like Christ? We have to understand that from the moment we were born again, the moment we were converted, that everything is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all to us. And without him, we have nothing whatever. This is particularly true in the question of the Christian life about which we've been thinking about tonight. The standard to which we seek to bring our lives is that of Christ's likeness. You may be tempted to ask, yes, but how can I be like Christ? How can Christ be seen in me? Let me ask you another question in return. How do you see me in me? How do you see me in me? Well, I'm standing before you, and you see me. Now let's go back to the first question. How can Christ be seen in us? It is because he who is in us, the life which we live, is Christ. It is he who lives within us. Please turn, if you will, to Galatians and the second chapter and to verse 20. Page 822, I believe, in the Church Bible. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Here is the Apostle Paul. We've looked at this verse, we've mentioned it already, but let's have just another little look at it. What does Paul say? Let's take it from verse 17. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Paul says, Christ lives in me. He does this through putting his Holy Spirit within our lives. Turn to another passage. Go back to Romans and to the 8th chapter of Romans and to verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. I think it's page 797 in the church Bible. And Paul writes this, 8 and verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Christ is living in you through his Holy Spirit. I want to draw to a close by giving you an illustration. A spectator at a game of football is watching his players playing the game of football. And if he is enthusiastic, if he's really keen on his football, if he's really keen to see his football team succeed, as the game proceeds, he, as it were, wants to put himself in the life of those players. He sees the right winger going down the right wing, and the right winger keeps cutting inside. And every time the fullback cuts him out, and you keep saying, why doesn't he go round the other way? Why doesn't he come out the other way? And you're feeling, if only I could get inside that man. He would do that rather than what he's doing. You are sure that he would do the thing you think he should be doing. Let's lift this illustration to a higher level. Our Lord is no mere onlooker of your life, but a participator in your struggles. He's interested in you. He's enthusiastic for you, like the spectator for his footballer. He doesn't merely just cheer us on from the stands. He puts himself within us, enabling us to do and to be what he wills. Our Lord has definitely taken up his abode within us. And this happened at our conversion. Insofar as we are trustful and obedient to him, he will live out his divine life through our human experience. Paul says to the Colossians in that first chapter, Christ in you, the hope of glory. May we add, the hope of sanctification too. There's a chorus that I used to sing as a boy. I don't often hear it sung these days. The only time I hear it sung is when I'm speaking at ladies' meetings and they still have the CSSM chorus book. And many of our ladies' meetings do. But there's a lovely chorus. And those of us perhaps who are older will remember it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Yes, we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And when we do, we grow in grace. Yes, we can come to him in prayer. We can speak with our God. We have that fellowship with him day by day and moment by moment in our quiet times and moments throughout the day we're speaking with our Lord and Saviour. Then we turn and we get down and we study God's word. We don't just read it in a routine fashion. We read God's word and we see what it has to say to us and we apply it to our lives. We see the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and we pray that that character might be in us. We have fellowship one with another. We encourage each other. We admonish each other. Sometimes, yes, we draw alongside somebody who is struggling in the Christian life and we help them. Or perhaps they come alongside us and help us. But we help one another because we have that brother and sisterly love. Yes, are we turning our eyes upon Jesus? Are we looking full in his wonderful face? Or are our eyes still on the world? If they are, then we will fail. But if we're trusting in him and looking to him, our Lord and Saviour, who suffered and died on Calvary's tree on our behalf and who rose again from the dead, the one in whom we put our faith and our trust, having confessed our sins and repented of them, when we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then we will go on in the Christian life. Or it'll be a struggle. It won't be easy. There'll be good times and bad times. But our Lord will be with us and will help us through and will bring us through. For he has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And as Jude reminds us, he will one day present us faultless before God's throne there in the glory. May the Lord bless his word to us tonight.